Our troops have fought bravely against a ruthless enemy. Our civilians have made great sacrifices. Our allies have borne a heavy burden. Afghans have suffered and sacrificed for their future. But for 6 years, Afghanistan has been denied the resources that it demands because of the war in Iraq. Now we must make a commitment that can accomplish our goals.
President Obama speaking on Friday as he announced his plan for Afghanistan, including 17,000 more troops to fight and 4,000 more troops to train Afghan security forces to fight al-Qaeda and the Taliban, concentrated in the regions along the Afghan border with Pakistan in what is now called the Overseas Contingency Operation instead of the Global War on Terror. Bureaucraties replaces hyped up passion. But what about the rest of the country? Journalist Prothap Chatterjee recently visited some of the other regions of Afghanistan farther away from that conflict zone and found little of the money the U.S. has spent in the region has made its way there. He has a new book called Halliburton's Army, How a Well-Connected Texas Oil Company Revolutionized the Way America Makes War. But we're going to talk to him about Afghanistan today. Prothap, welcome to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you for having me.
How widely did you travel in Afghanistan?
Well, I've been to Afghanistan a couple of times. I've actually traveled in both the Middle East and Central Asia a number of times. I went to Mazar-i-Sharif in Balkh province. I went to Bamiyan in Bamiyan province. And I went to Kabul. I didn't go to the border region because I was more interested in the issues, the key issues that I think have faced Afghanistan for many, many decades of poverty, of lack of health care, of lack of jobs. And these are issues that are still facing the Afghan people. If you go to the poorest provinces like Bamiyan, the remote parts of Balkh province, you will find that people are still living on practically nothing.
Bamiyan came to international attention about a decade ago when the Taliban blew up those historic stone Buddhas. What's the situation there now?
Well, they're rebuilding the Buddhas. UNESCO has poured money into that. And the deep irony here is money is going to the Buddhas, but not to the local people. So you have a province which has never had electricity in history and still does not and may not for the foreseeable future because the U.S. put just $3 million into the province in 2002, in 2003, each of those years. The U.S. spends more in 1 hour on its troops and weapons in Afghanistan than it does in the entire province of Bamiyan for a year. And so 42% of people in Afghanistan live on less than a dollar a day. And people are, you know, people are upset. They're not taking up arms in Bamiyan, but it is entirely possible that down the road, people are not going to be very happy about the U.S. presence there. The key to getting money from the U.S. government is, in fact, the priorities that Obama laid out, which are exactly the same as the priorities of George Bush, fighting al-Qaeda, fighting terrorism. That's not what most people in Afghanistan need. However, there's a vicious cycle that operates here. Poverty leads to anger, leads to looting, leads to problems, leads to people signing up with somebody comes around the villages whom they know, offering them money to shoot at the Americans or foreigners.
And as I heard it, at least, if anything, the Obama approach is going to be even more narrowly focused on getting al-Qaeda than the Bush plan. As I heard the Defense Secretary Robert Gates on Fox News Sunday yesterday. But listen to this clip of the president on Friday and tell me if this starts to address these underlying conditions in Afghanistan that you're writing about. Here, he had this to say about the need for foreign aid.
At a time of economic crisis, it's tempting to believe that we can shortchange the civilian effort. But make no mistake, our efforts will fail in Afghanistan and Pakistan if we don't invest in their future. And that's why my budget includes indispensable investments in our State Department and foreign assistance programs. These investments relieve the burden on our troops. They contribute directly to security. They make the American people safer.
So do you hear the president's plan as getting ready to offer more assistance to civilians around Afghanistan, or just being even more focused on the military questions of al-Qaeda and its potential to attack the United States as on 9/11?
I hear him saying that he's going to hire more aid workers from the United States to go advise Afghans. And I don't think that's what Afghanistan necessarily needs. They don't need more overseas advice. They have very simple, practical needs, which is clean water, electricity. Much of that can be done in country. Let me give you an example. The U.S. Agency for International Development has put a lot of money into Afghanistan, most of which has had very little effect. There's one area in which I think it has had tremendous effect, and I applaud them for that, is in the rebuilding of girls' schools, in the building of new girls' schools where there have never been girls' schools, and whereas there could be more done, I salute, you know, the international community in its effort in girls' education in Afghanistan. On the other hand, the U.S. government has poured millions and billions of dollars into building of hospitals and schools through U.S. consultants, and that's what Obama was talking about. A company called Lewis Berger in New Jersey, not so far from your radio headquarters, mm-hmm. Which wasted the money effectively. Some of the fault and is based on the fact that the U.S. government came up with very bad plans. But one of the problems is that by hiring a company from New Jersey that then subcontracted a company from India, that subcontracted a company in Kabul that then hired workers in the field, it wasted most of the money. The average school and hospital that they built there could have been built probably for a fifth of the price. So when Obama said, I'm going to put more money into civilian effort and, you know, send more advisors there, I don't think that's really what is needed. A lot of that is it's about repurposing aid that already exists and using it wisely as opposed to sending in more experts from the U.S. There's a lot of problems with the system of foreign aid, and I didn't hear him address that, and maybe this was not the appropriate forum.
Yeah.
I met with the General Accounting Office, the man, Charles Johnson is the man who is in charge, and his team, literally about an hour after Obama's speech, and I asked him, what do you think Obama is doing here that is new, and is he going to succeed? And they said, well, we'll see, but we'll tell you one thing. His office has not contacted us to speak to us, Bruce Rydell, the entire, you know, National Security Council. In the last 2 months of doing strategy, they didn't go to the most effective agency of government that has studied this problem and is actually about to issue a new set of recommendations on mm-hmm. what they should be doing.
Right.
One of the criticisms has been the fact that the police training effort using civilians has resulted in 0% of police being effective in Afghanistan until about a year ago. It's improved about 2% now.
So we have to leave it there, but I think we see the question laid out before us. Will the new Obama plan for Afghanistan be just a troop surge in the military sense, or will it be something qualitatively new in an approach to the people and the underlying situation there? Journalist Prothap Chatterjee, author of Halliburton's Army, How a Well-Connected Texas Oil Company Revolutionized the Way America Makes War. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And up next, the great writer Mary Pfeiffer. Maybe you know her classic bestseller, Reviving Ophelia. Now she's out with a memoir in which she calls herself the worst Buddhist in the world. Stay with us.